What is up, our friends from the internet? It's the Tech Yeah Games podcast. Please excuse my dishwasher in the background. I'm doing some dishes.
Gotta get them clean somehow.
You gotta get them clean. I'm your host, Tony, here with my dishwashing co-host, Leo.
I do love washing dishes, I'm not gonna lie. I find it very satisfying.
I just hate putting them away, you know?
Really? I like putting them away, too. It's like, here's a clean thing, and I put them with the other clean things. It's quite lovely.
I am just so bad at putting things away. Like, laundry. Like, I'm down. I'm into doing laundry. Like, I don't mind it at all. I love the smell of fresh laundry when it comes out of the dryer. Like, I like picking it up and, like, just having the room, like, clear, totally. Right? But then I just suck at putting it away. Like, I don't understand.
It's so funny because you've done, like, 99% of it.
Yeah, the easiest part is left, you know, and like I don't have to leave the room to do it. I don't have to like get other things, you know. And for some reason, I think there's just this mental block. It might be depression that that's like, no, don't finish tasks.
Don't do it. Don't do something nice for yourself.
Yeah, let this linger and like poison your space for a week.
And every time you look at it, you just get slightly sadder.
Yeah, a little bit more depressed every time you get out of the shower and have to take your clothes out of the laundry basket, like instead of out of the closet.
Every time you see a wrinkle.
Every time you see a wrinkle, you're just like, it's okay. I'll just wear a shirt that's a little wrinkly today. Yeah. It's not a big deal, you know. It takes a little bit of your soul with it.
A little bit. You got to do it. Well, all that said, I'm glad you're washing the dishes.
Yeah, I am. I don't know. It was getting a little dish stinky in here. We had no electricity last night.
Couldn't
do dishes. Couldn't, you know, like there's just food just sitting. You know, like it's just like, oh man. It went out for like how many hours? Like 7 hours. So from like 5 p.m. until midnight.
Oh, that's like prime electricity time too. That sucks.
Prime, and it was hot as shit last night too. Ugh. It was prime electricity time that I was robbed from by LADWP, and they're gonna hear about
it. We're coming for you, LADWP.
Yeah. I'm fucking coming. you know what's really funny though? So I was playing Apex at like, I got off work a little early yesterday because I started early. So I clocked out at like 4:30 or something. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I'm a jump in some Apex, right? My girlfriend gets home at like 8.
Yeah.
I'm trying to, there's like 4 days left in the season. I'm level like 85. So I'm like, maybe I can finish this thing, you know? Yeah. Like get all my free coins, and so I jump on some Apex, and I'm playing, and I'm like right in the middle of a round. I got the gun I want, and then boom,
feeling
power
good.
Goes out.
Yeah,
flashes out, blinks out. And I'm just like, what the fuck, right? And I go out the front door. I live in an apartment, and so everyone kind of comes out of their apartments, like, oh, what's going on? And I look to the right, and literally, like on the block over from my house, a building is on fire.
Oh shit!
Right. And I'm just like, what the fuck? Like, is this it? Did something burn down and now the power's out? And, you know, this has to be connected. This can't be coincidence, right? Coincidence. The building on fire.
Welcome to LA.
The building on fire had nothing to do with the power outage.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it is. It was this fucking like Thunderdome out here.
Yeah.
I mean, it always kind of is, but more so than
more
usual.
More so than usual because it's at night.
Yeah.
It's very good.
No, I'm saying, well, it was 5 o'clock. It was still light out for the most part, but yeah.
Well, the fire provided a nice ambiance, a nice light.
Yeah, it was a good dusk, right? A good, like, you know, kind of lit, almost like when you're camping, you know, and like you get back
hour.
To your campground and you start the fire and the sun starts going down and you crack a couple beers, you know, you start cooking dinner. Camping's great.
I know, it just makes me want to go camping, damn.
That imagery is like, being around a fire, like breakfast time and dinner time around the fire are just like so great.
The time between dinner and breakfast, though, when you're camping, not so great.
No, not so great.
My power goes off a lot, and I always try and use it as an excuse to play my Switch, you know? And that's the time when I'm most aware of the shitty battery life on the Switch, because I'm like, all right, I got fully charged, I'm going to play some Breath of the Wild, this is going to be fun. And then I just check it, and every like 10 minutes, it's down like 8%. And then it's just amazing how fast it runs out when you can't recharge it.
It really is. And it's, you know, it's funny. Like, I was like, what am I going to do? I got nothing. And so I eventually figured out how to, like, you know, enable tethering on my phone without paying for hotspot.
Yeah.
Right? You know, like download one of the apps. And I tethered it to my iPad. And I just watched I watched the worst show on Netflix, which is called The Circle. Have you heard of it before?
Yes. I've seen a couple episodes.
It's my favorite trashy show on Netflix. Like, it is terrible. It's a terrible show. I'm really
into I'm glad it. You're using your precious data for something so valuable.
Well, what the fuck else am I gonna do? Man, I'm just sitting in my it's dark and hot. All right. What am I gonna I couldn't even read.
That's like, why I have candles. You know, light some candles.
It's so hard to read by candlelight.
It is, yeah. Last time my power went out. I managed to do it, but it was quite challenging.
Yeah, and my Kindle's not backlit. I have like the older Paperwhite, so if I had a backlit Kindle, I probably would have read. I've actually been reading a lot of graphic or like the novelizations. Like, this is how weeb I've gotten recently.
Oh boy.
So there's anime, right? And anime usually comes from manga, right? Mm-hmm. And what I knew but never really dug into was that manga usually comes from what they call light novels, right? So people like write the stories as books, you know, basically for teenagers. And those books get turned into manga pretty often.
That's quite into that.
And then those get turned into an anime. Sometimes it skips the comic section in the middle. But yeah, so, you know, a lot of the stuff I've read manga on or watched anime on is already finished in light novels. Yeah. You know, like the story's done. And so now I've been going back and just reading the light novels because I'm too impatient to read a, you know, 20-page comic once a week or once a month. They come out so slow now.
Yeah.
So I've been actually reading a lot lately of those. But
what was the last one you read?
It's called what is it called in English? It's So I Turned Into a Slime, I think it's called.
Yeah, I think you told me about this.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to get the actual... The time I got reincarnated as a slime.
That is even better.
Yeah. I should know the English title, but I don't. But it's actually pretty good. It's, you know, these stories are like... They're like perfectly encapsulated, like, teenage, like, fantasy.
Yeah.
And I don't mean, like, a fantasy for a teenager, but, like, fantasy genre, like, for, you know... excited young people, like, you know, like video game audiences and stuff, right? So they move fast.
Yeah,
they're very like big fights and just like, you know, really characters, and it's fun to read that. Like, you know, not everything can be George R. R. Martin, right? Like, that stuff's just too heavy sometimes, and these are just like the lightest, funnest reads, you know, like which I really do appreciate.
Yeah, that's cool. Interesting.
Yeah, so I feel like we're supposed to be talking about games by now.
Oh, yeah, sorry. So, a little bit of a tangent, but we got some game stuff in there. It's game adjacent.
Yeah, game adjacent. With that all being said, though, Leo, what have you been playing this week?
Yeah, so again, some of the old stuff I've talked about at length already. I played a bunch more Assassin's Creed. It's still really excellent. I don't have a whole lot new to say about it other than, same thing. It's kind of janky, but I really love it. I love the character, and when it works, it's really wonderful. Excuse me. I played a little bit more Final Fantasy, still just trying to get through the MSQ. I've kind of slowed down a little bit on it for whatever reason, just playing other stuff. But yeah, every time I hop back in, it's always, you know, it's like, oh, hello everyone. It's nice to be back. Just do a couple main quests and log out again. The game I played two games. I played a lot of actually GTA Online, and it's interesting. I just played it to fuck around, you know, with people. And, man, that game is hilarious. Like, it's been a long time since I played a game that just makes you laugh so much. Not because the writing's good, but because just the situations you end up in that game, just fucking around with other random people on the internet, is immensely entertaining.
Yeah, I really like GTA Online. Like, if you didn't run into the occasional lobby where someone is, like, either hacking the lobby or they're just, like, or they're just so, like, overpowered, like, you know, they got all the flying fucking rocket everything's and they just fly around the lobby murdering everybody, and it's I know you can just like reload into a different lobby, like, that's fine, but, you know, just that, you know, because it makes you frustrated, right? Like, someone comes around and murders you while you're trying to do something. Constantly. And you're like, oh, I'm a fuck this guy, right? Yeah. Like, that feeling is so like lame, you know. But it would be fine if it felt fair, but it just seems so unfair. Like,
yeah,
you know, like,
I kind of possibly
do anything.
Yeah,
right?
I kind of respect that about it, and that it's not balanced at all, or even pretending to try to be. I mean, there are some tools in place, like you can go into passive mode and you can ghost people, and, you know, it's not like if you don't want to engage with that side of it, you don't really have to. But honestly, I find that side to be absolutely hilarious. Like when I'm running down the street and someone just absolutely runs me over out of nowhere, it's hilarious. Or like I'll run after someone with an axe. And just the chaos that ensues is fascinating. One thing I did notice too is like I always thought that game was very beautiful, especially with the next gen upgrade. And I'm playing it on a computer, and it is, you know, it's aged well. It's almost 10 years old now, which is crazy. But it's definitely now, you know, in 2021, I can definitely see the cracks in it and the age of it in a way I hadn't ever seen it before, which is kind of interesting because I haven't played it in a while. And, you know, it's not a slight at it at all. It's like it actually looks quite good considering how old it is. I know it's pretty consistently updated, but yeah, especially after Rockstar's other work like Red Dead Redemption, obviously this is a very different game and on a very different scale. But yeah, it's finally showing its age, and I'm pretty impressed by how long it lasted without showing its age.
Well, just wait until you get the next gen upgrade.
Yeah,
coming for the PS5. I can
finally get it on my PS5. Yeah,
you can finally. There are some good like high res packs.
Yeah, totally.
For GTA 5 to make it look nice. But
absolutely, they're always good at that.
But yeah, I like online. I've played a lot of online. Like, I got some money. If you ever need help with GTA Online, I got a lot of stuff in that game that I could probably help you out with.
Yeah, that's fun. I don't know how much I'm really gonna like invest in trying to actually build it out, but it's just chaos, which can be very fun sometimes. So
yeah. The heists and stuff are pretty fun. Like, you know, as someone who's been playing the GTA main quest recently, right?
Yeah.
Like, to get back into it. You know, I didn't really realize kind of how involved the heists were in GTA. Like when you play the story quest, I think they're actually pretty awesome. Like,
yeah,
a lot of the set pieces in that are pretty amazing especially for the time of that game,
yeah,
right? Like in the open nature of that game and having those things somehow work, I think is pretty incredible.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of that stuff's in the heist and it's pretty dope. Like, you know, you get these like crazy vehicles and stuff. Like, it's fun to do even in online.
Yeah, no, totally. There's a lot going on in that game. The other thing that I think has been kind of funny is the writing, as far as like the moment to moment interactions are definitely also feel very aged. Like they do have not aged well. Like I remember playing GTA 3, I thought it was perfect time for that sort of sense of humor. Like I thought Laszlo and the writing and the radio stations was brilliant and like super subversive. And I think it, you know, kind of was for the time. But now it's just like, it definitely feels very puerile in a sense that it did not feel that when I first started playing it. I don't think it's necessarily because I've grown up a lot, really, although that might be part of it. It's more just, I don't know. For some reason, playing it, I was just like, man, everyone just swearing does not make them cool. Like, it's just funny. It's not like I'm laughing at it instead of with it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, I think the culture has changed so much around that stuff. And, you know, to be kind of frank about it, like I think in a lot of ways we're really afraid to have these kind of one-dimensional portrayals of people, right?
Yeah.
By like these archetypes, you know, like Lamars do exist in the world.
Oh yeah,
you know what, sure. I mean, but like exploring that I think is pretty faux pas in this time, you know what I mean, like as far as having that be like the way he interacts and the way he communicates and kind of talks to your character and the way people interact with him.
Yeah.
Right. It's just not I don't think it's a good time. Like, you know, like playing it now in like the current climate, it's a hard time to kind of interact with that relationship, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, totally. It's just interesting. It'll be interesting also if they do make a GTA 6, which I don't even know if they are, but how they'll kind of grapple with, I don't know, just what does a GTA in the modern times even look like? I can't even really like conceive of it. Anyway, yeah, but
cucks, it's cucks and SJWs.
Yeah, right. Totally. God, that would be so weird. And like, yeah, I don't even know what is like a subversive game even mean anymore. I don't know. It'd be interesting. But all of that to say, back to kind of praising it, like, damn, I can't believe how long it's been around and how like, what a remarkable achievement that game is, just like in general.
It really is incredible.
It's quite extraordinary. Yeah. Especially, I know people always say this, but especially as someone who lived in LA for 10 years, it really is fun just driving around and be like, holy shit, that's I used to walk over that bridge to get to work. Or like, hey, that looks vaguely like that restaurant I went to that one time. It is really fun. I'm sure people in New York City feel the same way about GTA 4, but that does add to it for sure.
Yeah, even like the moment to moment, like you just drive under a bridge and you're like, I know this. Like,
yeah, I know exactly I know this
view like, amazingly well. You know, it's like, especially now I live in Hollywood.
Yeah.
So I'm like in the city all the time. And it's like, oh man, like this stuff is all like too familiar in a way.
Yeah.
You know, you're like, we're on Melrose right now. You know, like, yeah, it's crazy.
It's quite an achievement. Yeah. It's definitely a cool game in a lot of ways. The other game I played a fair amount of, not a huge amount, but definitely enough I'd like to talk about, is I finally took kind of a deep dive into the Outer Worlds, not the Outer Wilds, the Obsidian RPG.
Okay.
Yeah. I've always...
The one I'm less interested in.
Yeah, I think that's how a lot of people feel. I've always been kind of... I played it a little bit when it was on Game Pass, when I had Game Pass for a month, when it was a dollar or whatever. And I was intrigued, but I didn't get too far into it, but now I've been playing for quite a few hours and I really like it. It's very, I don't have a huge amount to say about it because it's sort of, everyone's already said this. It's essentially like a pretty light Fallout style game. But it's stripped away a lot of the stuff I don't like about Fallout and replace it with, you know, a pretty light sense of humor, but still, you know, it's funny. It is funny. It's not like laugh out loud funny by any means, but it definitely is kind of goofy in a way that I like. And I like those systems. I kind of like how simple they are. Like, there are stats, there are choices. All of it's pretty dialed back compared to something like, certainly compared to like CRPGs, like the, you know, the ones people really like. And even paired back, I think, compared to like some of the BioWare games. It's certainly not like New Vegas, where it's like just a completely different time every time you play it. And, you know, it's the same. I don't know if it's the same team. I'm sure there's some of the same people, but it's the same company. It's like New Vegas Lite, basically. And I don't mean that in a negative way. I actually really like it. It's very simple and kind of straightforward, but it's fun to play. Shooting is pretty good. By all accounts, it's pretty short, which actually sounds great. I do not want to spend another 100 hours playing a game like this. But I don't know. For what it is, it's kind of a pure vision. It was just like, what if we just took, you know, Fallout New Vegas, but upgrade the graphics somewhat? It still does not look very good, and it's pretty janky. But, you know, the writing's good, the voice acting's good, and it's just fun. It's fun to explore worlds and shoot things and collect loot and do fun little side quests, especially when you know it's all pretty self-contained. So, yeah, I don't have a lot of insight onto it other than, as we've said before, I think sometimes it's okay to just like, hey, what if we just made this thing? Like, it's not it's a known quantity, but what if we just did a good job at it? And sometimes that's plenty.
Yeah. I have had very little interest in that game. And I don't know, like, if it's... I don't know why. Like, I don't know if it's because I, like, detested Fallout 4 so much, you know, that, like, I'm just not... Like, it's kind of turned me off on, like, that specific genre of game, you know, yeah, in a way that...
It ruined the entire genre for you.
Yeah, in a very unfair way, I'm just like, I don't want to do this shit again, right?
Yeah, I hear you, man. I kind of agree. That's why this was kind of a nice surprise.
Yeah, I am shocked whenever people like Fallout 4. Yeah. Like, you know, like, it's mind-blowing to me.
Fallout 4's rough.
But yeah, it's so bad. But I have heard some decent things about this game. I just know I think it had some, like, graphical issues when it came out. I think that was, like, a big thing was it didn't look good and it didn't really run great either, which... it's probably different now.
Yeah, it's fine. I mean, it's definitely not a graphical powerhouse by any means. Like, it feels like it's running on the same, the New Vegas engine. I don't think it is. I mean, that's Bethesda's engine, and this is not Bethesda, but it feels very similar to that. So it is not a technical showcase at all. There's some cool art design in there. It doesn't run amazing. I haven't had any game crashing issues or any, like, weird graphical glitches, but it certainly feels kind of low budget in a way that I don't mind at all. But I could totally see there's a lack of polish for sure.
Yeah, and I think I also saw a lot of videos of people just breaking it, right? Like the progression.
Yeah, you know? That's okay, so, though. I mean,
yeah, it's fine. I don't think I think it's funny, right? But it's just like, okay, I see how this works, like how the tools work in the background.
Yeah, totally. I think it's definitely has that vibe to it, which I can appreciate. But yeah, I'm enjoying it. Like I said, it's not going to change anyone's life, but it's a fun, cool game that, I don't know, I feel like people were giving it too much of a hard time for not being radically different. But like we've said many times, sometimes doing something well and doing it, you know, pretty straightforward can still be a strength. So yeah, that's mostly what I played this week. What about you, when your power wasn't out?
Most of what I played this week were the old usuals. Apex season is ending and I do have the battle pass. I've kind of been trying to, like, last minute grind to the end. Like, I didn't really care. Like, there's nothing really that great on the Battle Pass, but at this point, I'm like, well, there are the coins, right? Like, the premium currency. And I did spend money, so, like, I should try and get all the premium currency out that I can before the season ends. And so I've been grinding quite a bit of Apex this week, just trying to, like, finish off missions and get as much of that kind of done as I can. I think there's 3 days left. And I am interested in the new season's got a new champion. I don't know. I think that's what they call them.
Yeah.
And she's kind of like Pharah.
Oh, that's right? Cool.
And she's got like a jetpack, and that's the only thing that's similar, but you know, that kind of makes them the same.
It's a woman with a jetpack, so.
A woman with a jetpack. I think her ult's kind of like Pharah's too. But yeah, so I'm excited for that. Yeah, and also cool. I like that. I like the skins that can come from jetpack ladies, right? Like it really fits my Gundam vibe.
Yeah, it's pretty close. It's like right on the edge of Gundam.
They're going to get a Gundam like robot skin. It has to happen, and I'm ready for it. I got so many coins. I'm ready to buy it. Just let me have it, please. So I've been playing a lot of Apex, but the game I played this week that I think anyone might actually be interested in is I bought Returnal yesterday. Oh, it just came out.
PS5 exclusive.
Yeah, so I bought it yesterday to play, and then my power went out. Nice. So I didn't get to play it at all yesterday. But I saw a lot of good reviews. I saw some, you know, in general, I look at a game and it's got a lot of good reviews. I'm like, what are the bad reviews? And the bad reviews were dumb. And so I was like, okay, this is probably a pretty good game, yeah, right? Yeah. Like, the naysayers just seemed like contrarians, yeah. You know, like,
or they just
like,
did not have good reasons, or just reasons they don't agree with. Yeah, for sure. That's a good way to do it, though. Like, good reviews are almost less important than
the bad ones, yeah. Right? Like, are these deal breakers for me? Yeah. You know, like, because
are the bad reviewers usually making valid points? If so, yeah.
Usually they are not deal breakers for me, right? Yeah. Or at least in this case. So I went ahead, bit the bullet, paid the $70, the new premium for a video game, and I bought Returnal. And I got to play it for, I don't know. I woke up at like 6, like
a couple hours.
Maybe an hour and a half. Okay. I didn't get too far. There's some things I really like about it, and from what I've played so far and what I've seen of it. I have watched quite a bit of it before I bought it because I wanted to get a feel for it before I plopped down $70. The movement feels really good.
Yeah.
Right. Like, I think the one thing I love about it is like you run super fast. This whole dash is an invulnerability window, so you can just like dash through everything. There's a lot of, like, a decent amount of auto aim, you know, like, so if you're firing the assault rifle, you could just be just running, firing from, like, don't worry about aiming down sight.
Yeah.
Just like run around, jump in, firing from the hip. Like, it's real fun. Like, it feels really good, to do that. It's definitely a Housemarque game, you know, like, I feel like if they flipped the camera and it was a top down view, it would be like exactly a Housemarque game, you know, like,
that's interesting.
Like, yeah, like it really, the enemies shoot the same like bullet hell bullets,
yeah.
You know, like everything's kind of that same visual style of like big pink balls fanning out and like, you know, which is cool. I like that. I mean, that's kind of, I thought it was so novel and near when they kind of did that, you know, and so I think it's cool to see here as well. The guns are fun. The art is amazing.
Yeah.
Like, I think if you're into, like, you know, H.R. Geiger, Aliens, like, sci-fi, if you like, what's the one with the sphere? If you're into sphere.
The one with the, you know, the circle thing, the sphere.
I really was like, the orb, the circle. No, the circle's on Netflix. The sphere. If you're into, like, sphere or any of that stuff, like, the art is great. Like the HUD looks amazing. The way your character, like, so if you guys don't know about this game, I'm sure you do because it's like the new hotness, but PS5 exclusive, it's $70, just came out on Friday. You're a lady, a space lady.
Do you have a jetpack?
Kind of. Yeah. Nice. So your jumps like empowered, nice. Like a jet jumps. Right. Which is kind of like what's, you know, like they don't make you move like a person because they're like, no, you're like powered up by your suit, you know, so you kind of jet jump and run super fast. So you're a space lady, you're flying around, you get a message like, do you see the white lotus or something? Like it's some like like, you know, mysterious message, and then you crash land on this planet, okay? And you know, in the first loop, like the let's call it the tutorial loop, you know, you realize things are amiss. You find your own dead body laying on the ground. You know, what's going on here? You find audio logs of, that you recorded that you don't remember recording.
Oh, man.
And then you die, and then you start the loop over again. And that's kind of what the game is.
Yeah.
There's one thing I'll say. This lady is insane. She's an insane lady, right?
How so?
Because you are running around, and you find all this alien stuff, and she's like, yeah, I'll just put that on. You know, like, I'll put that on my suit, right? Like, one of the first things you find is, like, Xenotech, and it's like a... It looks like a piece of spinal cord with like claws.
No, thank you. Right?
And then she sees it on like another suit. And she's like, oh, my suit says I could integrate this thing. And she's just like, plack, and just like sticks it on her back. And it's like, nah, fuck that. Like, why would you, like, why would you do this? Well, I guess
if you know, if you die, you're just going to restart, then that might take your fear of strange alien spines away.
I don't think she really understands that fact at this point, right? Like, I don't, in the consciousness of how you see the character, I don't think you really understand that that's what's happening when you start shoving fucking alien stuff on you. Like the shotgun in this game, it's like an organism. You stick your hand up its ass.
Whoa.
Right? Yeah. Like you end up with just alien stuff like just stuck into you all over the place.
That sounds scary.
And it is, but it's also like sort of silly. You know, like it's kind of got like a wackiness to it in that sense. Like I don't think it's supposed to be. I think it's supposed to be kind of heavy, you know. But that part of it was sort of like, nah, fuck that. Like you're not gonna like, you know, like she finds all these like alien, like
just fucking shoves her hand into it. Like this will work.
Or these machines. Like you find this machine and it's like a cutout of an alien, right? Like it's like leaned up. You know, like at like, I don't know, like 100 degrees, right? So it's like upright, but lean back a little bit. And it's got like the carve out of like an alien body. And you like walk up to it and you're like, yeah, I'll try it. And she just like gets into it and it like closes, right? And it's like, oh, it does something. I don't even know what it does. And then, you know, she's like, oh, I don't know what that did. And it's like, why did you jump in there?
It could have given you like fucking space cancer. You don't know.
It could have done all kinds of crazy. It could be a torture device, yeah. Right? You know, there's like a coffin thing that she just is like, I'll try it. It's got like blood on it, right? And it's like a coffin. And she's just like, I'm going to lay on that. That seems like
she's,
the next
step. She's very open-minded.
Yeah, that seems like the next step in this level is to lay on this sarcophagus, this bloody right?
And, coffin. Yeah.
Yeah. It's fucking crazy. It's crazy. Like, it's really... mad like how like open to this stuff she is. but yeah, outside, I think the game is good. I think it's fun. I saw a lot of like 9s and 10s for it. I would say it's like an 8 if you ask me from where I'm at so far.
But you only put a couple hours, right? So
yeah, knows? I'm hoping it ramps up.
Yeah.
From all the gameplay I've seen, I don't feel like the, you know, for a roguelite or a roguelite game, I don't feel like the upgrades are crazy enough, you know, like I think the funnest thing about roguelikes is when you break them, you know, like when you get to a point where like your power-ups are, you know, you're like auto generating shields and shooting heat stinking rockets, yeah. And you know, double dash and you know, healing on hit, and like, you know, it's all these things stack and it's like you're like undefeatable, you know, yeah. What I mean, like unless some bullshit kills you, like you're not gonna die. Like I don't see that happening in plays I've seen, and from the power-ups I've gotten, they're all like, oh, you know, 20% faster cooldown, or you know what I mean? Like, yeah. Like very like, oh, your numbers are better stuff, you know, which is cool, but it also is not like, oh, I got to get like the right build or, you know, whatever kind of thing. So I'm interested to see if that really ramps up as the game goes on, because that is one thing where I'm like, I hope you really get into some real fucking overpowered.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, I look forward to hearing more about it next week, maybe when you've put in a few more hours, have a better sense of like progression or how that kind of works. But I will say, it doesn't sound like something I'd enjoy just because of that loop I don't find engaging, or at least I haven't found the game that's made that sort of roguelike loop engaging for me yet. Not to say it never will or that it's bad or anything. It's just not at all what I'm looking for in a game right now, but I did watch some reviews. I've watched the Digital Foundry video, and I mean, it looks like a fucking cool, interesting game, and like I keep saying, I think that's extraordinarily valuable, so I'm glad to hear you've enjoyed it so far and look forward to hearing more about it. And it does look beautiful. Did you play Hades? No, I haven't played Hades yet. I definitely will. I haven't yet.
I would suggest trying Hades, because yeah. I think they do a good job of like weaving dialogue into it.
Yeah.
I think this game is actually far more curated than the reviews might make you think.
Hmm.
You know?
Interesting.
It does seem like there is a very, like, there's a very straightforward path of story progression, right? Like, through the runs. You know, the runs are almost, like, less important than... like then like, you know, it's, you're gonna find these logs, right? You're going to like move through the levels in this way. They're gonna randomize where some of the stuff is, but it's not as like it's not as random as you might think it would be, right? Yeah. I think a lot of that's kind of an illusion, right? I think if everyone kind of compared their notes on what these levels look like and how they're acquiring upgrades and how they're acquiring you know, like story beats and all this stuff, they'd realize that it's like, oh, this is a lot. This is a lot more curated than I thought it was.
Interesting.
You know?
Huh.
Yeah. So we'll kind of see how that plays out, but, I'm down for more of that. I do think the story is interesting, and I think what I think is fun. And I think what is signifies something that is going to pull me through is like, I want to know the answers to the questions it's asking. Right.
Yeah.
And I want to know if my theories are correct about like, what I think is happening and kind of, you know, my guesses at like what the resolution could be. So, you know, I think that's fun. And yeah, I'm definitely going to play it some more.
That's cool. Yeah. And I will say, like, even just having fun movement can really carry a game a pretty long way. Like just yeah, being absolutely. Fun in the moment to moment gameplay, even if there's nothing else, which sounds like there is other stuff, but that alone can be just such a fun way to engage. So that's cool. I'm glad one of us got it.
Yeah, I agree, and I'm glad one of us. That's kind of my thing. I was like, oh, we should like, you know, it's the only new game coming out. Well, you know what's crazy is like, I was like, I want to get this. It's like the first really like new game, PS5 only game.
Yeah,
I want to like experience it and kind of be part of that conversation. And then I realized like nothing has come out on Xbox.
Yeah,
like no first party games have come out at all on Xbox, and it's just like. Wow, like this is a strange time, man. Like,
no, you're right. It is weird.
Yeah.
There is one other game coming out, and I'm going to get it on Friday, and that's Resident Evil 8. But that's not PS5 exclusive. I am getting it on PS5, but I'm very much looking forward to that. I will report in next week.
Just take videos if that lady steps on you.
She's not going to step on you. But I'm curious what she is. Like, is she a tyrant? Is she, like, I'm very interested in, like, what the, not, but, like, I'm just fascinated by this, like, how is this going to fit into the lore? It'll be very interesting.
And if she farts on you, I gotta see it.
Ew, no.
I'm just saying, if she does.
She won't, but okay.
I'm just saying.
I'll send you a message on Discord if she does.
Yeah, take a clip, send it to me.
And then delete it.
You can delete it. I don't care what you do with it. Once I got it.
Like with Riot. Like Riot with their voice data.
Yeah, like Riot with their voice data. All right, let's take a quick break, and then we will jump into some other stuff. So, Leo, you're sure she's not going to fart on you?
Yes. Well, I mean, I don't know. I haven't played it yet. I'll let you know.
Yeah. It's a 50-50 chance at this point.
No, I don't think it is.
That's how, yeah, either she is or she isn't. It's 50-50.
I don't think that's how statistics work.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's how it works. So,
well, you sound like an expert, so, all right.
Yeah, I'm an expert on statistics, okay? So, you know, there's not a lot of news this week, Leo.
True.
I mean, I'm gonna be honest with the audience here, right? That's what I do.
We're scraping the barrel, and we don't want to...
I tell it how it is.
Yeah, always.
I always tell it how it is. And yeah, there's not a ton of news. We have a couple stories we're gonna get to. But, you know, I've been thinking a lot this weekend, and we were talking earlier in the week, and I was actually thinking about Outriders, right? And I was thinking about some other games, but this was kind of the recent one that kind of brought this into my head. And I was thinking about, like, why do I, like, some people really are liking the game despite its broken nature, right? Yeah. And why do I hate it so much? Even though I've only played the first, like, what, hour and a half of it, you know? Yeah. like Like, what is it? And you know what I realized? That game has a bad intro.
Yeah, it's like, you know, it is funny because you kind of hit the nail on the head. It's like, I played an hour and a half of it, the first hour and a half, and I just didn't like it. Why is that? Well, yeah, that's probably why.
And so, like, what I talked to you about, and I think what is kind of the issue at hand is, like, what is it that makes that first, like, how do you capture people in that first hour and a half, you know, that intro gameplay, right? You know, I really do feel like the worst thing you can do in the beginning of a game is, like, restrict movement,
yep,
restrict buttons, and be like, sit through this kind of dumbly walk around and learn the buttons one at a time. You know, like, yeah. That's always a turnoff for me. What do you think? Like, what do you... What makes an intro bad?
Yeah, that's
I think is the first question.
I've been thinking a lot about it too. You mentioned this a few days ago, and I really got me thinking. I had a couple thoughts. One being, it kind of made me think of good and bad intros. I'll start with a good one, and I always think of Spider-Man, the PS4 one, where the game starts with a very short cinematic, then he fucking jumps out the window, and you're playing.
Yeah, swinging.
You're doing the best thing in the game immediately. And it teaches you how to do it, but it's by no means do you have to like walk around and be like, are you ready? Hit R2 to swing. No, they fucking throw you out the window and you're instantly swinging across the city. And like, yeah, there's tutorial stuff after that, but just that impression, I was like, oh shit, talk about leading in your strengths, you know? Like, goddamn, that was that. I remember in that moment, A, it looked so cool that I couldn't even tell I was playing it, which was kind of neat. But that's more of a technical thing. But yeah, just the design of the intro, like, okay, here you go, boom. And that's pretty, like, accessible as far as games go, you know? That's nothing, like, crazy. But that felt, and we've talked about this before, just, like, really leaning into the strengths of the game immediately. I think a really famous bad intro, and I agree with this, is Zelda Twilight Princess, which has a notoriously long training sequence. And a lot of that story beats... it's not all just hand-holding training, like, but it feels like such a fucking slog. And when that game is firing on all cylinders, it's a really interesting, kind of mechanically complicated game, I think. So to just have this weird hand-holding can feel very alienating and irritating and patronizing. And I think the biggest way to address that is to, A, just make it optional. Like, that seems like such an easy one. It's like, hey, do you want to do a tutorial? If so, go in the menu and click on tutorial. Otherwise, we're going to trust you enough to just fucking figure it out.
Yeah, I think 3D Zeldas in general have notoriously been, like, terrible to start.
Yeah, and I don't know. Like, I understand Nintendo wants to make things accessible, but it's also, like... I think about my nephew a lot, who's, like, you know, relatively new gamer, but he's excellent. Like, he's a great example of, like, oh, well, you know, he's younger, so who knows? But he's, like, I could hand him anything and he'll instantly figure it out. Like, this is, you can figure it out very quickly, especially if it's fun and engaging. Like, there's no reason to, like, constantly put up roadblocks and hold people's hand. And if you feel like you need to, just make it optional. I feel like that solves 90% of the issue. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree. And maybe, you know, I don't think it has to be optional. Like, I do think that there can be value in those early parts of game. Like, even if they are instructional, there are lots of setup, you know, like... you know, I think even of Breath of the Wild, right, where I don't think the intro is that bad, but it's also not good, right? I think it's a place where people fall off of that game quite often, and I also did.
Yeah,
right?
It's like, almost like opposite problem.
Yeah. Well, sort of, but also, like, you still don't have any of the good stuff, right? Yeah. Like it lets you play the game, but also it doesn't. Like, it's really prohibitive.
Yeah.
You're stuck in this small area.
Yeah, you're weak.
You're very weak, and it's also asking you to, like, to engage in these different systems in a way that doesn't make a lot of sense. You know what I mean? Like oh, you got to go in the snow, and it's like, how?
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, meh, I don't know. You know, yeah. Like, and you can't glide. Like, gliding is the best part of that game,
yeah.
You know, like, arguably. And it's like, no, you got to do this. You got 3 hours ahead of you before you can glide, right? Yeah. And it's like...
That's true.
Man, like... You know, like, it's that same thing. It's like, let me do the best thing in this game from the beginning, or at least give me a taste of it, right? Like at least give me, like, a little bit of flavor, and, like, don't drag this out, right? You know, I think of, like, Symphony of the Night, you know, like, as much as I don't think the beginning of that game is the strongest, right, because you do start out very weak, at least you get a short, concise intro where you have all of the powers, right? You have full weapon and armor set, you know?
Yeah.
Like, at least you get some combat early that's like, oh, like, I'm a badass. Like, this is cool,
yeah.
You know? It gets taken away. You got to work your way back up to that. And I, you know, I don't necessarily think the, like, you lose all your stuff intro is the best version of that. But it, I'd much prefer that of, like, seeing the future over the opposite, right?
Yeah.
Of, like, never, right?
I'm glad you brought that up because that is sort of a, it is one solution. I think it is kind of an inelegant one. And maybe that's partially because we've seen it so many times, right? I'm thinking of, like, all the games from, like, the God of War generation would do that, you know? Like, you'd start off and then regardless of how the story just, or Metroid, it's always the same deal. And regardless of how the story frames it, sometimes well, sometimes not well, it's sort of just like, all right. It feels a bit trite. I think it's funny you brought up Symphony of the Night, which has a very strange intro where you're basically playing Rondo of Blood, right? Like, you play a totally different game in the very beginning of that game and, like, fight the last boss of a different game before Symphony of the Night even starts. So that's a very weird intro. I know that's not what you were talking about, but I just... Talk about unusual and it unconventional is, intros.
Also, yeah, that part also is... I wasn't even thinking of that part, but you're right. That part also is
it's like a
very strange, but also totally like kind of cool.
It is cool.
Right?
Like, yeah, it's like you're playing the last boss of another game, and they make it so you can't die, and they change it a little bit. But it is, yeah, it's a very strange way to frame it. But yeah, all that to say, like, some semblance of, hey, this is what the game will be. Because I totally understand you, it's hard to just give someone everything immediately. Cause how do you ramp up from there? But I don't think I definitely don't think the Zelda way is the way and it doesn't have
Persona,
to be that.
If Persona 5 didn't have that intro sequence, I don't think you would, I think most people would never get to combat in that game.
Yeah, you're right. That's a great example. Right? And it's very short.
Yeah. It's very short. You fight like two fights, like two encounters, or I don't know, maybe three.
Yeah.
Not very many encounters, right? But it's like, you see how, like, the exploration's going to be with the jumping and everything. You see how cool Joker is. You get to do a couple fights where, they're automatic, right? Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, you're just one-shotting everything. You can't lose. But at least you're like, oh, this is what this game is. Now I'm ready to spend, you know, the next three
to
fucking hours.
To get there, yeah.
Yeah, to get back into, like, some semblance of this.
Yeah.
But at least it gives you the taste of, like, oh, this is the cool stuff in this game.
Yeah.
Without that, if the game just started with, like, this is how you walk.
Yeah.
This is how, you know. And then you still had to wait all that time, like, fucking no one would play that game. You know what I mean? Like, nobody play that game. If you didn't get to see the end screen of a combat, of a fight with the XP thing and Joker walking by all fucking cool, like, you know, you wouldn't even see, like, the flavor this game has, right?
Yeah, and that game did a good job of, like, framing the narrative by, you know, it's all a flashback until that point. You know, I actually had a really bad intro yesterday. I was playing a VR game. I don't even know what it's called, honestly. No disrespect to the game, but... was not a good game, and it had a weird name, but it had a terrible tutorial. It was literally like one of those where you are in an empty space, and then it's like, press this to jump here, and you're like in a void, and it's just a super bare bones by the book tutorial. And then at the end, it's over, and it's just like, dude, this sucks. Like, I know I said make tutorials optional, and I do agree with that, but like putting something just in a blank space and making it feel like it's just a total. I don't know. There's got to be a better way. Dishonored, I think, had a really good tutorial. Maybe it was Dishonored 2, where you sneak out of the castle at night, and it's optional, by the way. You sneak out of the castle, and you're, like, training with Corvo, with your father, and you're, like, it's all in, like, he's training her how to do this stuff in a way that feels really cool, and he's, like, pretending to be ignorant while you sneak up on him and, like, giving you advice diegetically within the frame of the story. And it was optional. To me, that feels like a really nice kind of best of both worlds, where when you do the tutorial, they could have put it in the beginning, but they didn't feel the need to. But it wasn't just you standing in an empty room. And then...
My problem with Dishonored 2 intro is that it's the same thing, right? For one, I didn't play Dishonored 1. So obviously, the story beats were lost on me, and I was not at all interested in them. And I think the story beats in the start of Dishonored 2 are... rote and stupid, right? Like this whole idea of like the hero and, you know, you're the hero's daughter, or you can be the hero if you want, right? Kind of in the throne room, you know, like celebrating, and then the the menacing bureaucrat comes in, right? And oh, it's a coup, you know, like it was much longer than it needed to be, right?
Yeah.
And you come out of that in basically a full stealth sequence with no powers, no weapons, you know what I mean? And and like I was saying before, like none of the cool stuff, right? Yeah. Like you don't get any taste of the cool stuff. Now, you know, granted, I didn't play the first one, so maybe they're saying like you've already seen the cool stuff because this is the second game, right? Obviously. But again, it was like, I don't know what this game could be, and right now I don't like what it is.
Yeah.
You know?
No, that's fair. And that does do the thing of taking your powers away.
Yeah. And I think that's kind of a failing, right?
Yeah. No, I think that's a good point. Did you play, just out of curiosity, did you play a tutorial?
Yes, I did play the tutorial.
I'm just curious because, you know, I don't think you get powers in that either, so it doesn't really solve that problem. But I do like the way it integrates it into the story while also simultaneously being optional. But yeah, no, you're totally right. And then the downside of something like Outriders is where it's both. It's like a tutorial and a story, but it's just so slow and boring and like painful.
Yeah. No, I agree. And I did think the tutorial section of Dishonored 2 was good. Right, like the little, like in the, are you in like a sewer or something?
Yeah, in the back alley
streets. Steam and gates and pipes and stuff.
Yeah, and you like snuck out of the castle, so you feel like you're kind of like breaking the rules in kind of a neat way.
Yeah, that stuff seemed fine, right? It's really just like getting into the first mission, the story beats leading into it, and then the actual first mission itself is just like, I don't know, like I have not seen the fun yet.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. I think we talked about it before.
I think so too.
What are some examples of tutorials you think are good? Because I feel like we've, like every tutorial we're poking holes in. So I'm trying to think of some that I think worked really well.
The Last of Us.
Yeah, that was pretty good. That was interesting.
Because it's just interesting, right? Like, it's a narrative game. It's a movie game. Yeah. I think doing the cool stuff doesn't mean doing the cool combat stuff.
Yeah.
Right? It means doing what your game does best.
Yeah, showing right the theme the or showing the, like, focus of it. Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah.
Showing what you're the best at, right? And I think The Last of Us, like, you know, it's funny. Nothing that scary happens in the intro to The Last of Us, right? And it's still fucking terrifying. Like, even going back and doing it.
Because it feels
like
real. Yeah.
It feels fucking real. Like, no, things aren't, you know, zombies aren't crashing through your fucking windows. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, there's not a zombie behind every door, you know, making you jump around. Like, it's just dark and ominous and, like,
people are screaming and just, running, which is the scariest thing of all.
Yeah. There's just, like, this heightened just anxiety and terror in the air, and you can feel it. Like, and that's, like, real, that's real scary shit, right? That's not, like cheap scary shit. And, you know, I just thought it was so strong, like, and really draws you in.
Yeah, I agree. I think that is a good example. And I really like your point of, leading into your strength does not necessarily mean give you end game gear and let you fight a crazy boss. It means, what is your game? What do you want? Like, what is the fundamental theme you're trying to convey? Whether that's in Persona 5, just fucking style and exploration and story. Is it, you know, is it combat? Like in Symphony of the Night? And that's kind of a cool way to do it. Or is it story or whatever else it is? Movement. Just make sure it comes across very clearly. And it's, I mean, really, it's just, it's got to be fun.
It's got to be fun.
Or engaging. I think
that's the biggest thing, right? Yeah. It's got to be engaging on the level that the rest of the game hopes to be. It should be the second best part of the game should be the intro, right?
Yeah, and the best part should be like the end game where you're like fully into it and invested. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, the finale, right? What's one you like?
Well, it's funny. Like, I think God of War, the first one, the first three, I guess all of them, actually. Well, actually, now that I think about it, the new God of War has a very interesting intro because there's no combat.
I love the new God of War intro.
And it was awesome. And that actually is a great example because it did, surprisingly, if you've only played the old ones, you're like, where the hell is the fighting? But that game's not about fighting. I mean, the fighting's great and all, but it is about, like, it is about story. It is about your relationship with the boy. And that comes through very clearly from the very beginning.
And you do end up fighting in what I would still consider the intro, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
I think the stranger fight is...
Yeah, for sure. I guess I'm just thinking of the first, like, 10 minutes.
Yeah.
But the old Gods of War, which were all about combat and spectacle, I still remember to this day the very first God of War where you fight that Hydra on the ship.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like immediately they do not fuck around. They throw really hard enemies at you. You have to fight an entire boss and it's crazy. And that's all before the first save point. That was a strong intro because it was like, hey, if you can't do this, like, sorry, you can't play this game. Which I'm not saying is necessarily good, but it at least was like in line with the themes of the game, if that makes sense. So in that way, I feel like it was a good intro for that game.
Well, because that's what that game is, yeah. Right? Like, it's madness. It's like, spectacle. Are you ready for fucking madness? Because yeah. you're about to get dumped in.
Yeah.
I love the new God of War intro, yeah, right?
Me too. Like, it was very different, but it does get to the thematic core of it for sure.
Yeah, and it's touching, which I think God of War is often very touching. And I do think the combat sequence really does set you up for, like, what these combat sequences are going to be throughout the game, right? Like, it shows you, like, this is a spectacle, you know, like this is not you using your moves to, like, win this game. Like, this is a lot of quick time stuff, but a fucking spectacle of them, right? Which I think is great.
Yeah, and it's not like hit X to double jump. It's much more like, figure out within, like, the environmental context clues. What do you think about games such as Dark Souls or Bloodborne, like the way that those From Software games kind of do intros, which are, I don't know, they have kind of a unique way of doing it where you kind of just start and then you sort of have to start engaging with the systems very quickly. I think there's a lot going on behind the scenes you don't normally notice as far as like funneling the player down certain routes, but correct me if I'm wrong, a lot of times with those games you can go to like very hard zones from the very beginning and not even know, like there's very little signposting about where you're supposed to go.
Yeah, I mean, generally all those games have a, like a tutorial section right at the start, right? So before you get actually, like, released into the world, you know, it will have, like, a small, like, run, like, you know, you got to run up out of a jail cell or whatever and run up and attack some, like, guys that are just standing there. But, yeah, in most of those games, within the first, I don't know, 30 minutes, you can... Well, I wouldn't say most. The open world ones, right? So not Demon Souls. But like in Dark Souls, any of the ones where you can, kind of roam around. Yeah, you can really just sort of break it at the start and rush into zones or you know, most of... You know, I think the thing about Dark Souls, and I will say, I don't think those are great intros.
Yeah.
Right? I think in a lot of ways, those... the intro... Well... You know, in some ways, they do kind of fit the narrative of what we're saying. The intros do really show you what this game is about.
Yeah.
The problem is that game is about difficulty, struggle, and obtuse storytelling.
Yeah.
Right? You know
Which
what I mean?
Don't always make, like, the best first impression when if you don't know what you're getting into. Yeah.
Those are the themes of the game, right? It's like reading like a complex Murakami book or something, right? Like you know, the tidbit they give you on Amazon's never gonna make you want to read the book.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like you got to be down for this shit. And you know, Dark Souls or the Souls series is definitely that way because you know if you know what you're doing, if you're going into it with an idea, like you know you can choose a class, you can start with the key, and you know because you get a cheat item at the start of the game, and you know you can really just like. Break the game from the start, or you can start with a class that's a little stronger in combat and something that heals you and kind of meticulously work your way through that game. And I think both of those are indicative of what that game is. You know, I just really think those games are so, I think it's strange. Those games are as popular as they are because they really are not for everybody.
Yeah.
You know, like I think Demon Souls being like the launch PS5. I love Demon Souls and I think it's beautiful, but like having that be the launch PS5 game is like, I don't know, man. Like, I don't think a lot of people, I mean, people seem to like it, but it just doesn't seem like a game a lot of people are going to like get behind.
Yeah. It's kind of interesting that Demon Souls and Returnal are two, you know, by all accounts, very interesting, cool games are like the two like, genre pushing or like system pushing games when they're both so, kind of, They seem very niche in a way. I'm kind of surprised by that, but that's kind of cool.
Yeah, I do like Housemark put out a tweet this week, and I know it was something about like, you know, just how excited they are that Sony allowed them to make this like, weird creative game, you know, as one of like the kind of launch titles on the PS5.
Yeah,
and You know, I do agree. It's just so funny, despite this idea that Sony doesn't care about, taking chances or creative games. It's only big budget games. And it's like, it does not seem to be the case with the things they have released. And a lot of the, you know, I'm excited about Kena: Bridge of Spirits coming up. Me too. And so it really, just because people don't care about Days Gone,
it's 2. It's really just Days Gone. I don't know.
It's like... really just Days Gone, right? I feel like reading into that, like it means something has been a mistake. Let's just say that. It was, yeah. It's not indicative of any, I think, grand strategy because, these games are coming out and people like them, you know?
Yeah. No, totally. I agree. It's cool. I'm excited to play Returnal. And I've been thinking a lot about Demon's Souls and how much I want to play that as well. But I got to get through Resident Evil 8 first. That'll be my next focus. And then who knows? We'll see after that.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree. I don't know. Anything else you got on intros? Because I think we kind of said what I thought.
Yeah, I mean, we spent like an hour talking about it. So, hey, I think we've covered it. But yeah, it's interesting. If any of you listening have ideas on intros that you either really hated, that stuck out to you as particularly onerous, or ones you thought were really elegant and interesting, I'd love to hear other examples. It's one of those questions where, you know, I'm sure as soon as we stop recording, I'll think of 5 examples I wish I'd brought up. But
yeah, I've been thinking of them all. Like, they keep popping in my head, yeah, like all week. Ever since we brought it up, I just keep thinking about them.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, one thing I will say, and another thing that really brought this to mind to me was we kind of talked about the discrepancy between Black Ops' intro and Modern Warfare's intro.
Yeah.
You know, like the first missions in both those games. Because, you know, the thing that really like spurned this for me was, I feel like the first mission of Black Ops is so shitty and boring.
It is, right? Which, hey, there you go. It's thematically resonant for the rest of the game.
I guess, yeah. But the first mission of Modern Warfare is so memorable.
Yeah.
You know, totally. And you know, they're kind of doing the same thing. You know, they're both shooters. Yeah,
it's like they're different genre.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, the way it's presented is so different and reads so different and feels so different to play and, like, leaves such a different impact.
Yep.
That really is what kind of brought this to mind. And, man, I love Modern Warfare. That's such a good
game. Yeah, I mean, that's a great example because it is literally two games in the same series back-to-back that have profoundly different introductions despite being, you know, mechanically identical. That's a really interesting point. Like, there's a lot more that goes into it than just gameplay. It's all about how you frame it as far as narrative, as far as mechanics, as far as even, you know, just straight up direction that can really make or break an introduction.
Yeah, for sure. The language is just so interesting.
Yeah.
You know, like the visual language, yeah, the audio language, right?
And the tonal. Just like how it makes you feel.
It makes such a difference. I mean, with that, I think we could, a couple news stories.
We can run Microsoft, through them real quick. Nothing super exciting.
Microsoft is lowering their share on the Windows Store. Windows Store PC, right? So, not on Xbox. So this shows you how much they think this is.
Yeah, I'm still not clear on the difference there. Like, because when you buy stuff on PC through Microsoft, it's still like through Xbox. It's weird. It seems like they're like competing with each other in a strange way. Also, why wouldn't you just get it on Steam?
Yeah, why wouldn't you just get it on Steam? You know, I think that this is just one of, like, since Epic announced their thing where they're lowering their cut for publishers. You know, I think this is just a way to try and garner support by not really changing
anything. Without,
you know,
like, actually doing anything at all. Yeah.
And to try and seduce developers or publishers to kind of maybe publish there first or not publish on Steam, right? And because if they're getting, you know, 12% as opposed to paying 30%, right? You know, if you sell 2.5 less times the copies, you still get the same, you know, payout on those games, right? So, you know, I see what they think they're going to do. But like the Epic Store, the Microsoft Windows, I don't know what they call it, the Windows Store, the Microsoft Store, whatever they call that store, it fucking sucks. Like, it's so bad.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think we're getting far... I shared this story with Leo before we started, that 66% of gamers are more likely to play socially responsible games. And we were laughing about it because, you know, the crux of the study is you ask people, are you a good person, not good, or
yeah,
sort of a good person, or a bad person,
or
do right?
You, it framed it like, would you be annoyed if there was like good content in your game? It's like, you'd have to be a real fucking prick to be like, I hate when there's good content in my game.
Yeah, it's
a weird way to frame it. Yeah.
You know, and it's funny because I'm definitely not one of the guys that's like, gamers are bad, right? I think that I hate that narrative more than anything. But there's also a narrative that we sent this questionnaire out and it means gamers are good is also super fucking annoying. Yeah. But, you know, I think this Microsoft store kind of plays on that where it's like, oh, you know, gamers will care that, you know, we're giving publishers who have plenty of money a better cut on their games, right? Like, this is for the devs, yeah, right?
Thanks, Microsoft.
Yeah, and the reality is that's not our business,
yeah,
right? Like, as consumers of games, like, it's not our job to, like, manage the back door, the behind the scenes going on of developer payouts and rev share, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm glad I don't worry about those things, and I feel sorry for you if you do. I think we need to buy the best product at the best store, right? Like, whatever serves you the best is the best way to acquire that. And right now it's Steam, right? Microsoft Store is bad. Epic Store is bad. If they want to make those stores better and offer a better rev share, I think that's great. I think it will definitely help them grow. But I think offering less and then trying to use, guilt and empathy to be your sales pitch,
yeah,
is fucking super lame
and destined, right, for failure.
And desperate,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's why I only use Origin personally.
Only I fucking hate Origin.
It makes it really hard to play a lot of games, but that's all I can use.
Right now, Microsoft and Epic seem like fucking dorky kids at school that think gamers only like assholes.
Yeah,
right. You know, they're like, oh, you only like assholes that charge developer or publishers 30%,
no,
right?
Like, no, we just like Steam.
Yeah. Why don't you like us? And it's like, well, because you're not as good. You don't work out. You don't play sports. Yeah, you're antisocial.
You're not friendly. You're not cool. Yeah, you're not interesting.
You're not cool. No, and you only like assholes, yeah, you know?
It's like some fucking incel bullshit. You're right. It's incel bullshit, right?
And it's like,
We treat our developers really nice. Why don't they like us? Fucking bitches.
Yeah. Yeah, we love developers.
Yeah, they're like total fucking nice guys, quote unquote. That's funny.
We would never hurt you. That it's like, well, what, can I publish on both? No.
No, fuck you for even asking.
You're going to be exclusive.
That's what I get for trying to be nice.
Yeah, that's what I get. You're such a bitch.
Yeah, exactly. Oh,
God. You're such a bitch. Yeah, so fuck Microsoft and fuck Epic.
Well, what's funny about Microsoft too is like, this is not Microsoft's issue. Like, I'm sure their numbers through the Windows Store are so fucking low, and the fact that they're pretending like this is some big deal is like, dude,
do it on Xbox.
Exactly. Why didn't you do it on Xbox? Well, no, of course not.
Yeah, if you care, just do it on Xbox. No, Show people, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Show people your morals. Yeah, right.
Your bona fides.
With fucking everything, man. Like, that shit drives me crazy. I mean, we talk about politics sometimes off of the show, and we don't need to get into it here. But it's like, exercise your ideals in, like, on full display.
Yeah,
People will be down for them, right? Mm-hmm. But hiding behind these thinly veiled, like moral superiority plays,
yeah,
is fucking... It's the lamest shit, yeah, you know, because it's so fake and it's so
disingenuous. Yeah.
It's so disingenuous, exactly. Like, you hit it on the head. Like fucking, that's fucking lame.
It's some incel bullshit. That's what it is.
It's some incel bullshit, right? Some mega cuck fucking incel nonsense. And I've had enough of it.
I'd love to hear about that shit.
Sony or Chad's, Valve's a bunch of Chad's, Microsoft and Epic are some fucking incel mega cucks, okay?
I said it first, folks.
I fucking said it, all right?
What does that make Nintendo in this world?
Nintendo's asexual.
Yeah, but they're super popular. Like, everyone's like, yeah, Nintendo's super... great. They don't ever try to hit on you.
Yeah.
But they're fun to hang out with. They're a little, like, litigious. If you cross
the girls love them because they're safe.
Yeah.
And, you know, they walk them home and make sure they're fine but aren't threatening. Yeah. the guys love him because they're chill. They're actually a good wingman. Totally. You know what I mean? Like, you know, you're friends with Nintendo. Nintendo's friends with you. And
everyone's
you
happy.
Know, the girls see that. And they're like, yeah, he's a good guy. Yeah. You know, the guy seems like a good guy, right?
But it, works for everybody. If you cross Nintendo, though, whew. His dad's a lawyer.
And no one's going to let you live that down. Well, his uncle works at Nintendo.
Yeah, exactly.
So there's no crossing him. But one more quick story. Some more mega cucks. Riot Games will record Valorant voice chat to combat toxic behavior. This is like the worst. Like, so I, you know, we neither of us have much love for Valorant. I think that's fair to say.
Yeah.
And you know, I had plenty of beef with the kernel level anti-cheat they were kind of doing. It's gross. It gives them access to basically anything they want to see on your PC. Anything. At any time.
Yeah.
If you're running that Valorant anti-cheat, they can access anything that goes into any part of your memory. Yeah. Right? So, anything they want to see. And now they're going to record everything because, you know, they got to make sure you don't say anything mean. Right? And, you know, granted, like, I'm sympathetic to the fact that people don't want to have mean shit yelled at them on voice chat. Right? That's fine. I just don't think this, I don't think becoming this like helicopter publisher, right? That needs to like, just sell a console if this is what you want to do, right? The fact that PlayStation records voice chats and knows what everything that happens on a PlayStation, I'm a bit more forgiving of because it's like, this is their box,
yeah,
right? Like you bought the Sony box. Yeah. They're going to want to know, they get to see everything that goes on it. A PC is far different. I don't do my taxes on fucking PlayStation.
I do.
No. Yeah. I bet you do. You seem like the kind of guy.
I'm in so much trouble with the IRS all the time. They're like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah. They're like, no.
The spreadsheet is formatted so weird. Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. I got a platinum on my taxes. but people do very private things on PCs. Right?
Yeah.
Like extremely private things. And Riot to think that they can have ownership of that space, of your space, right?
Yeah, that is gross. And not like, yeah, I don't know. The whole thing is gross. I mean, on the one hand, it's like, well, then don't fucking play it. And I'm like, yeah, I won't. Thank you.
Yeah, that's really.
But that could also go the other way, right? Which is like, if you don't like people, dumb assholes yelling shit at you, which I don't either, just don't play the game. I don't understand this idea that like, I just won't go into a room where everyone's an asshole. I'm not going to be like, hey, can you fix this room so I can go in? I would just go to a different room. You know what I mean? I don't quite understand this idea that, like, if your game's full of dumb assholes yelling at each other, I don't know what that says about your game or your company or the culture you've, like, built around your game. But, like, I just won't play your game. I don't know. I don't need them to fix that problem. I just won't engage with it. I don't. This sort of draconian, bizarre overreaction is certainly not the answer. Being like, oh, finally, my safest space. They just need to record everything and, like, block people who say, you know, the N-word is just like, what? Is that really the solution?
Yeah. And, you know, what I think that happens, too, is it just leads to a worse game, right? People just don't voice chat. Right, like people just turn it off.
Yeah.
Or the only people that will keep it on now are people that are gonna like skirt, you know, like the rules.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
Like, yeah, like just like, you know, people type the N-word with an exclamation point.
Yeah.
Or you know, like what you see all the fucking time, right? Because it's so edgy. Like you really just drive these edgy kids to be even edgier. When the reality is you should just encourage people to use the tools within the game, right?
Yeah.
To mute people, to turn off voice chat if they're not comfortable with it, right? Like, because that's the biggest thing you can do to stop someone from being an asshole. Just being like, fine, we just won't listen to you.
Yeah.
You know? Like, if someone's screaming at you in voice chat and you just mute them, like, they can scream into nothing, but they're going to realize that no one hears them and they're going
to
stop.
It's very satisfying, you know? Too. And like the image of someone screaming and no one being able to hear them is one of the most like delicious images of all.
Yeah. There's nothing that brings people together more than when one person screaming and the other four people on the team just mute them and then talk amongst themselves.
Yeah. Right? Talk shit about how stupid he is.
Talk shit about him for a minute and then go ahead and live your lives and play your game.
Exactly.
Right. Like, and yeah, being draconian and being the nanny of all things on your PC is not the answer to that.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, I don't think it's like I don't know, the kernel level things, borderline immoral, I would say. Yeah, but it certainly makes me want to play Valorant even less than before, which was already pretty much at zero. So this doesn't really impact me, but it's fascinating to see the decisions Riot makes and how each one is the opposite of what I would do.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. I don't think that this is this doesn't overshoot the way that the kernel level access does.
That's way worse. But it's still part of the same problem.
It is part of the same problem, and it's also very easy to take. It's very easy to use this against people that you're having good nature. Like if you're talking with your friends on a pre-made or whatever, right? And you guys are saying some dumb shit, right? Like we all do, right? Mm-hmm. I have voice chat with Leo all the time here on Discord, and we have definitely said things that if everything was being recorded and me and Leo had a falling out, right? He could say on this day, Tony used this word or said this negative thing.
Like mega cuck.
And like mega cuck. Yeah. But that's the thing, right? Like,
he called me a mega cuck. Yeah, no, totally. I see your point for sure.
That's exactly that, though. Like, what if we were all playing together and I said, oh, these guys are mega cucks, right, on the other team as a joke because we're having fun as a team and we say stupid things. Because I don't think terms like cuck or SJ, yeah, you know, that's the language of stupid people,
yeah,
right? If I said that and then one person in the group, I don't know, we had a falling out or they didn't really like me or, you know, for whatever reason, and then they weaponize that against you, right? Like I don't think that's appropriate, like, to be honest with you. Like, I just don't. And I don't think kind of holding people to that makes for a better experience, right? I think it makes for a worse experience.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, totally. This is definitely... Also, I can't imagine it's actually effective, right? Because, like, it completely destroys all context of, like, nuance, right? Like, I don't know. It's weird.
It can't be effective. What's someone going to listen... Is someone at Riot really going to listen to, like, a whole game's worth of conversations to try and, like...
Contextualize.
Piece together? Yeah.
Be like, wow, this person is an asshole. Blocked. Yeah, like, who's going to spend the time and money to do that? It's very weird.
I mean... You know, how about this? Can you weaponize this against African-American people that use the N-word?
Yeah, exactly. Right? That's a good question. Yeah, are they going to get into, like, voice modulation and be like, well, we think he's probably African-American, so we can say it. Like, what? If you get into that level, you're like, that's fucking weird.
It's okay. He sounds black.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? Like,
God, yeah.
Like, you know, like, what is that? Like, what does that mean?
It's not good.
Like, am I allowed to say Mexican racial slurs?
I don't know.
Because I'm Mexican?
You don't sound Mexican, so no.
What does a Mexican sound like, Leo?
Fuck. See, these are the important conversations we need to have, but maybe we should not record them.
Yeah, maybe we shouldn't. But, you know, like, that's the kind of thing where...
No, totally.
Where I feel like this is just kind of another ugly step to take.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
and I agree. Valorant escapade.
And of all the companies that would take this step, I would assume it would be Riot.
It has to be Riot, right? It has to be Tencent Riot that would do something as authoritarian.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
And like you said, just make your own console. I think that's actually a really good point. Is like, yeah, if you want to do that, if you want to control this to this level, then just make your own console.
Yeah, I don't know why. Yeah, they should, because no one will buy it, but they should make it and then realize that people don't want that shit. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, people just don't know. Like, honestly.
Yeah.
No one that plays Valorant knows that this stuff happens.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, exactly.
No one. It's creepy. The majority of people who play Valorant don't know that their anti-cheat can see everything you do on your PC.
Yeah.
Know exactly what applications you run, know when you run them, know what you search, know what you do. Like, no one, 10% of the people who play that game know that, right? And less of those people know that anything they say on Valorant voice chat's being recorded.
Yeah.
Right? And... because, you know, they're not reading the T's and C's and they're not on fucking gamesindustry.biz or whatever. I don't even know what website I linked for this stuff, right? GameSpot. They're not on GameSpot. You're like, they're not looking for this to see what's this one story that popped one time and will not be talked about again, right?
Yeah.
And yeah, it's fucking gross.
I agree.
It's fucking gross. All right. With that, I think we can call it a day. This is a good show.
Yeah.
Leo, is there anything you want to jump into before I send all these folks home?
Last thing I want to say is congrats to Respawn for winning an Oscar. That's kind of cool.
That is kind of cool.
Yeah.
Was it for Titanfall 2?
No, it was for I actually didn't see it, but it was a short film that was part of their Medal of Honor VR game, which by all accounts is not a good game, but apparently the short film was very cool. And I haven't seen it, so I don't know. But I think it's just neat that a video game company made a short film and it won an Academy Award. It's just kind of a neat crossover of culture that I thought was just worth mentioning.
It's a real Chad move right there.
Oh God, is this going to be a thing we have to do every episode?
No, just this episode. Okay, we're pretty much done. It's kind of a callback, you know. It's kind of a thing.
We like to bring things full circle.
Yeah, bring the full circle. All right. Well, thank all you mega cucks for listening. We love you. We appreciate your time. TechYeah Podcast, Gmail, Facebook, Twitter, all those places. We love you. Thank you. And hopefully my power stays on so I can play more Returnal. Go play some games. We'll be right back.